This is just a timeline update. In June, we went through the process with our consultant. Dr. Hooper was here. In August, we established that policy and brought it to you that included the parameters. In September, we have already done this one. We sent updated student information to our demographer. We wanted to make sure they did a lot of study throughout the spring on projections and that sort, but we wanted to make sure that they had where the students are residing for school year today, because that's going to make it more accurate for 5 years from now. So she has that information and is currently getting that uploaded into her maps. Today we're reviewing policy FC Local. In November, we're going to present the demographic study or results thereof to you as a board. It'll go to cabinet first, and then we'll bring that. We've got it scheduled for the noon meeting in November. And then December through January, we're going to start doing some small groups where we meet with them, go over the zones, that some samples, get their feedback, get their input. February through April, we'll do some large group meetings. And I forgot, also at the end of the small groups, we will bring all those small groups together for a collective meeting, because from the first group to the last group, some things may have changed, so we want to go over with them and why. And then in May, we would like to be bringing you a recommendation. And that would be the recommendation for zoning in August of 2017. That gives our parents and the community a year advance notice of that. The purpose of the attendance zones, this is strictly, word for word from FC Local, is to maintain the neighborhood concept where possible, prevent and eliminate overcrowding, allow for future growth, keep distances traveled as short as possible. It can't always be done, but we'll attempt it where we can. Minimize the need for student transportation, and allow campuses to house students safely and provide adequate services to those students. That's listed as the purpose, what we want to accomplish. And when we call the deciding principles, or what I call the parameters, it says we shall strive to set boundaries that withstand time. We probably need to do this more often than we have in the past, but we don't want to do it every year either. So we want to withstand time and provide families with a choice whenever possible. To that end, the following principles, and we're fixing to go over those. This is where we need your input if there's something you don't like, to make these attendance area changes. We want to work toward a common feeder pattern at the secondary level, secondary campuses. That is the 7-8 to high school. That's what's considered secondary. We want to attempt to assign neighborhoods to the same school. When the demographer presents, she's going to talk about planning units. In planning units, you try to have natural barriers, and dividing a neighborhood down the middle is not real pleasing to the parents, the students, and it provides havoc to transportation and to us as well. So we want to try to keep neighborhoods intact. We want to consider the students' proximity to a campus and promote safe and reasonable walking zones where possible. We want to repeat the number of repeated attendance area changes over a particular time period. So we're going to look ahead a couple of years so that we don't have to keep moving a group of students a number of times. Attempt to ensure students zoned to a campus are not moved or negatively impacted with distributing programs among the schools. And we talk about programs here, that's also going to be important as well, because when we talk about attendance zones, we also have special programs like special ed and some other areas that we want to make sure that we've got space and we are accommodating in our campuses. We want to utilize natural man-made elements, which I just talked to you before about with the neighborhoods. You also want to follow any creeks, major highways, that sort of thing, as much as we can. We want to utilize the projected student enrollment and capacity as a principle for determining the efficient use of those facilities. We know things change. But the demographer in the past has been very good about at least predicting in that 5 to 7 year range. When we look at 10 years, things get a little bit off, but they've really been remarkably close even at the 10-year level. Promote a reasonable balance of enrollment among our schools. Consider the unique needs of our student population at any given campus, which sometimes that's not in the data that we just get with sheer numbers of where kids are. So we want to make sure that we look at any special population needs in there. We want to minimize the use of temporary classrooms. We've talked about that. We want to eliminate the use of portable buildings, or at least whenever we bring them in, they're temporary, not permanent. So we want to consider the physical impact and minimize future capital and operating budget needs. We want to attempt to maintain a diverse population. We have a diverse population in our district, so we want to try to keep that mirrored in our schools where possible. At elementary, we know when you talk about your neighborhood concepts and how close they are, that becomes a struggle. But maybe at the secondary level, we can maintain that a little better. We want to utilize student transportation resources effectively. That doesn't mean that transportation drives our decisions, but we want to make sure that they are included and we get their input and try to keep that at a minimum. And we want to consider any anticipated construction and residential growth within our community, and that's where the demographer is going to be key to tell us where she thinks our enrollment is growing and where in the next 5 years, 7 years, and 10 years. We will go over this with our committees so that they understand the direction that we're given. There's not just free rein to go wherever you want to with this.